Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah Ta'ala likens Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a siraj munira. Na arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'ithni wa siraj munira. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Sirajan Munira, a brilliant lamp. Allah Ta'ala prefers to call him a brilliant lamp against the brilliance of the sun. Though the light and effulgence that comes from this person is even greater than the light of the sun, but Allah Ta'ala speaks about him as the brilliant lamp. The reason for this is a lamp is something that one can come close to, contrary to the sun, that you can't go close to the sun. Number two, one lamp can kindle and lighten up millions of lamps. But one lamp, one fire. One fire, and that one lamp can light up a million of lamps. And this property is not in the sun. Number three, man has a type of affinity, attachment. He feels a soothing effect with a lamp, and that feeling is not in the sun, right? So there are various reasons why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is called Sirajan Munira. But the question is this, that then how do we benefit from the Sirajan Munira? We know that he is Sirajan Munira, then how do we benefit from the Sirajan Munira? So, as Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi Rasad Rahmatullah says, that the light that emanates from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then one was the light that had come from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whilst he was in this world. And the other is the light when he has gone from this transitory world, right? The difference between the light that was present when he was on the surface of the earth and the light that is now in the womb of the earth, there's a difference in that light. It says that light is like a lamp that has been covered from all four directions, right? You see a wick burning, right? When the wick is burning, then the light is not concentrated. But if you place a glass, a lamp over it, then you'll find that the light is concentrated. So similar is the effect of the Noor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that now he is inside, so the light is concentrated. It's concentrated, it's even more strong. The Ahlul Batin, they can feel it, they can sense it. Obviously, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah's ta'alluq was such, he could feel it, he could perceive it. But now, how do you get close to this light? This is the very important question, that how do you get close to this light? And how do you derive from the niche, from this niche of Risalat, this niche of prophethood and apostleship, how do you derive that benefit from it? So the one that is closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he will derive more from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's niche of nubuwwat. That mishkat of nubuwwat he will derive in accordance to his affinity, his closeness, and his attachment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The more one is attached, the more one is closer, the more one has built that affinity with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will derive from that nur. Then how do you build this nur? How do you build this attachment? Right? Every person will progress in proportion to the nur that he has got from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is one famous muhaddis, Hakim Tirmizi. So, in his youth, there was a woman that was trying to seduce him. It was very handsome, very attractive. There was a woman that was trying to mislead him, seduce him. And throughout his youth, he had escaped this woman to the extent that once she saw him entering into an orchard. So she locked the doors of the orchard and there was no way for him to escape. When he saw he was trapped, he scaled the fence, 6 meter fence, and he scaled it somehow. Now when he is in his advanced age, feeling is going through his mind that this woman, she was fond of me and I broke her heart, I broke her feelings. On that day that she tried to seduce me and she locked that orchard, I could have just complied to her desire. I wouldn't have not broken her heart. Now I restrained from the wrong, but I broke her heart. I could have made Tawbah later on. When his mind went in this direction, he broke into a sweat, worried. When he was so young and so easily I managed to save myself from the wrong. Now in my old age, and where my mind is taking me to? My mind is taking me into a wrong direction. And he cried, "May Tawbah," etc. So he saw Nabi Sallam in the dream. And Nabi Sallam comforts him and tells him, "Hakim, that your darja and your maqam has not deteriorated in any way. You are still the same maqam. And the reason for this type of behavior is that the time that you scaled over the fence, and you jumped, and you saved yourself, that time was closer to my zamana, to my era. When it was closer to my era, then you are closer to my light. When you are closer to my light, it was easier for you to escape from that wrong. Because you are near the light. You are near that nur. When you are nearer that nur, so it is easier for you to escape. And now many years have passed. So you have become distanced from the same nur. As you have become distanced from that nur, so you don't enjoy the type of benefit that you used to enjoy 40 years before. So you won't find that barakat and that blessing and that goodness that you found early on. As you move in time, then that nur also will be affected. It will be decreased. It will diminish gradually. So you won't find that nur. You won't find that barakat. Now this is that the difference between the nur that the Sahaba Ikram had received and the nur that we enjoy. The nur that the Sahaba Ikram received was like the nur of the sun, right? One light and it is sufficient for the whole world, right? Inside the house, outside the house, that one light is sufficient. When that natural light of Allah Ta'ala goes, and it's replaced by thousands and millions of small lights. But can all these millions and billions of light substitute the real light? They can't substitute. So when that nubuwwat, light of nubuwwat is gone, then small lights will appear everywhere. Ulama will appear. but they cannot substitute and they cannot come in place of that real light. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram had got directly from that light. So can you imagine what was the quality of the knowledge, the depth of the ilm? So now the question is this, that we have moved so far away, right, in time, from that nur and that mishkat of nubuwwat, then how do we get the proximity, how do we get that light, siraja munira? So we'll get that benefit from that light in two ways. One is emulating the sunnah. And I explained early on as well, the sunnah refers to the sunnah of the inner self and the outer self, not only the outer self like most of us think. Could the kurta right, could the beard right? These are great, very great they are. But they aren't the only sunnahs. That is the one sunnah. Then there is the sunnah of the heart. Ikhlas comes right. We abandon the takabbur. I explained once. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam alzama nafsahu ala thalathin. He had committed himself in this i'tikaf, if we can learn this and make a niyat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had committed himself to three things. So we'll try the best throughout our lives to commit ourselves to these three things. And his entire life, the whole theme of his life, he committed himself to three things. One is to abandon pride and arrogance. He was never a proud person, a humble person. And the gist of humility is, I don't ask why this person is favored in this way, and why am I not favored in this way? He's got whatever he's got, whatever Allah Ta'ala has written for him, he's got. And what Allah Pak has written for me, I have got. And I am grateful that Allah Ta'ala has given me this. I mustn't ask why he's got this. The fact that I have got it is a gift. And really, I wasn't deserving anything. He has given it to me, then that's a gift. So I'm grateful to the gift. Whatever it is, wealth, knowledge, respect, whatever it is, but it is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all of my own. So when it's not of my own, whatever it is, it's a gift. I am appreciative to the gift of Allah ta'ala. So I don't consider it as my own achievement, as a gift of Allah ta'ala. Now this will bring the very theme of humility. When you think that, no, whatever it is, whatever I got, whatever I'm enjoying, it's a pure gift of Allah ta'ala. It doesn't belong to me, it's not mine. I'm not worthy of it, I'm not deserving of it, it's just a gift. Whether it is that health, whether it is wealth, whether it is integrity and respect, whether it is any type of thing that I enjoy and I take that benefit from, but it's not mine, it's Allah Ta'ala's. So this will bring the very theme of humility. So this is the one thing that he had committed himself to, abandon pride. So Iqbar. The second thing he had committed himself to was to leave out quarreling, fighting, disputing, arguing. A person who hasn't got takabbur, then it is very unlikely that he will fall into a dispute. Why? He's got no takabbur, he's got no airs about himself, he's got no attitude of himself. So how can he fall into a fight? Very unlikely that he'll fall into a fight, into a dispute. Because he's thinking, whatever I've got, it's from Allah Ta'ala, I don't deserve it, he's given it to me. So he's not jealous about the next person, he doesn't envy the next person, he doesn't have any malice in his heart for the next person. What he's got is his taqdeer, what I've got is my taqdeer. And I'm grateful to Allah Ta'ala, not that I want to know why Allah Pak has given him this much. I can't, if I'm going to ask that, why he's been blessed in this way, as though I'm assuming a position above Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, why you gave it to him? You are assuming a position above Allah Ta'ala. So this was the second thing that he had committed himself to, mira. You will never find him in a dispute, in a quarrel, in a fight with anybody, no, whether it's verbal, whether it's first, whether it's whichever way, but there's no fight. And the third thing Rasulullah had committed himself to was to leave out vain talks or works. To remember that easily, words or works, what? Two W's, words or works. Things that don't concern you, they don't concern your hereafter, the life in this world, it doesn't really concern. So Rasulullah had left it out. So the sunnahs that pertain to the inner self, sunnahs that pertain to the outer self, the external self, we commit ourselves. And at least we make this niyat, you know, from the etikaf, when we go, these three things will keep it. Wherever. Because these things will come all the time. You will be confronted with different situations. Today you're young, tomorrow you are married. Then it's a different ball game, right? Then you get children, then it's a different game again. Game changes all the time. Then, after some years, you become a grandfather, you have grandchildren. And now you have to respect your children's in-laws. Right? Respect them. So it's another game that you are playing now. It's another game. Get into business, bigger business, smaller business. Right? So how will you behave in all that situation? How will you relate to pride and your image in society? How will you relate to a situation where people are criticizing you, and they're leveling criticism against you unnecessarily? They're speaking ill of you. How are you going to stand up? What are you going to do? And how are you going to behave when your wife and all that, they're pulling you into things that do not concern you, not your business? They're pulling you, your wife, your children, your friend is pulling you into things that don't concern you. So how are you going to work? Are you now going to say, you know, it's my wife, so I have to soften up for her? It's my child, so I have to soften up for him? Or it's my friend, I have to compromise for him? Or you'll say, no, I don't want to get involved in all these type of things. It doesn't concern me, it's not my work, it doesn't concern me, leave it out. This is a place where a man gets confused, where it is someone dear or near, and that dear or near person drags him in something of this nature, takabbur. The wife is saying, it's a marriage now, your daughter's wedding, and you have to do it. So you're doing it why? For public recognition, right? For public recognition, people must recognize. So no, I got nothing to do with this. You can, if you want to go, you go that direction. I'm not worried about this. I'm not going to spend on this at all. So you're not worried about what she has to see and what the world has to say. So in all phases of your life, you'll be confronted with the same three. Whether it's now, whether it's 10 years later, whether it's 50 years later, but you'll be confronted with this. Sometimes it's pride, your recognition, your identity amongst people, your image, right? These are different things. Pride shows itself in different ways. Whether it's a dispute and argument, whether it's related to money, whether it's related to anything else, but it's a dispute. Now, how do you avoid, how do you have a non-confrontational attitude? How do you avoid a problem? How do you evade things? Evade a problem, be evasive from the problem, how do you do it? And the third is things that don't concern you. How are you going to avoid that? So that must become the theme of our lives. So this is the one sunnah. And the other sunnah is the outer sunnah. Right? So we commit ourselves to that. Now, in proportion to how much we commit ourselves to the sunnah, you'll find that you're coming closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Though you are far away in time, but you're coming closer to him because of your adherence, your emulation to the sunnah. Your love is increasing. You want to read the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you want to learn it, you want to understand it in true perspective. You come across the sunnah, something someone spoke about, you want to see it, you want to understand it in true perspective. Understanding it in true perspective is indicative of the fact that you love him. So you want to know, how do you do this, and how do you do this? You have a very, very strong bond, strong love for him, so you want to know, all right, this occasion, this is what he did. At that occasion, this is what he did, so I want to know. And I want to know it firsthand, let me learn it properly. So, the sunnahs that are applicable at the different occasions, you are trying to memorize, trying to learn, you're trying to be very firm upon, right? So this is the one thing that the sunnahs you will get in your lives. One simple, very effective way is, like we said in the morning as well, that you can't master the entire deen at once. You try to get everything at once, you can't do it. So, you know, I'm going to leave out ghibah, I'm going to leave out backbiting, and I'm going to wear kurta, I'm going to keep my beard, then I'm going to get my takbirah ula, and everything you're going to do at once, you can't do it. But that doesn't mean now if you can't do it at once, then you abandon it entirely. مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. You can't do it at once. You'll start off now. So you make an agreement with yourself that, alright, for this week I will practice the one sunnah. One important sunnah, one big sunnah I will practice. What is the sunnah? For example, I will never make ghibat of anybody. If I have a 0.5% of a doubt that this is ghibat, bordering with ghibat, I will not do it. I will not indulge. So now you, the whole week, you are committing yourself to that. You are very particular that are you engaging in ghibat or not. Now by the end of the week, now you perfected it. Then the next week you're taking another sunnat. Another sunnat is, for example, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never bore any malice for anybody. He harbored no malice for anybody. His heart was absolutely clean. No malice against it. Now, that first sunnat was of ghibat, then of malice. So there's two sunnat, and you kept yourself committed to it. Then, one zahiri sunnat, one sunnat that is visible, for example, coming to the masjid, you come a little bit earlier. Right? Coming, you read your tahiyatul wuzu, tahiyatul masjid. These are all sunnats coming in the sunnat way. The sunnat is to walk, when you're coming to the masjid, you walk calmly, not rush, don't run. Calm. You got a place in the third serf, you sit in the third serf. You walk respectfully, you walk calmly, you don't rush and come. And then you sit where you have got a place. So all these are sunnats now. So you're practicing all these sunnats, you see. So there is the zahiri sunnats, they are those batini sunnats, but all these sunnats you are practicing it. Now, then you have learned now, in 3 weeks you have learned 3 sunnats. Now that you have learned 3 sunnats, now you don't forget those 3 sunnats, you will add it up. The 3 sunnats are the 4th sunnat for the 4th week. Now in this manner, in a year, there will be about 53 sunnats that you will have committed yourself to. That's already taken firm root in you. That's established themselves in you. Right? So in this way, you'll get closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, closer to the niche of Nubuwwat, Mishkat of Nubuwwat, coming closer and closer. So this is the one way that you come closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the other way that you gain the proximity to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is read Durood Sharif in abundance. Now, Thursday night, commences with Friday. How much of Durood Sharif we can recite, we recite. We must keep in mind that sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would spend the entire night in fikr of the Ummat, the whole night. Any of us can say that we in appreciation for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood one night and read Durood Sharif to compensate Rasulullah's that favor. That he stood the entire night for our concern. In appreciation for what he has done, we stand up and read Durood Sharif and thank, show that appreciation to him. Do we do that? So now we read Durood Sharif. So one is the emulation of the Sunnah, Zahiran and Batiran, and one is Durood Sharif. But all this we do with the feeling of love. And this is my Nabi Sallam's Sunnah, his way. One town, some, he was a technician or something, not very, very respectable work, but average. And they asked him to remove his beard or something. He says, see now, my dini things, please don't interfere with that. Other things you can talk about, we can compromise hours. Maybe you want me to work 6.5 hours in place of 6 hours, that other half an hour I'll put in. But please don't interfere with my religion. So the adherence to the sunnah, so, you know, that's my Nabi Sallam's way, that I don't want to interfere with. I don't want to compromise in that. The work, alright, you want me to work a little bit more, I'll work. But don't interfere with this. They'll respect you. So now this man is a man of respect, he's a man of principle. If he's loyal to God, he'll be loyal to us as well. They'll appreciate you. So you do it with a spirit of love. Now this man, Nabi Sallam's way, I'm doing it because he did it, he loved it. Right? And Durood Sharif, I'm doing it with love. So now you'll find, as you are doing it with love, and you are reading the Durood Sharif with love as well, you will find that your bond is becoming greater and greater. Your affinity is strengthening. Your love is becoming more and more intense. Now you're coming closer to the Sunnah. Coming closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when you're coming closer now, your understanding of deen becomes extremely pleasant and enjoyable. Now it's like a broad daylight. The deen becomes so easy. Like I said, the Sahaba Kiram were as though they were deriving directly from the sun of Nubuwwat. Then after the sun has set, then you take from millions of lights, but that lights can't be like that sun. So when you will practice the sunnah, then you'll come closer, you'll come closer, you'll come closer. So you'll see deen, you'll taste deen, you'll see the flavor of deen. As though that deen is now the maneuvering factor in your life, it maneuvers you. It turns you around, it manipulates you. What manipulates you, not maneuvers you, is your deen. Then some people are favored even more, that they get indications from the reason, do this and don't do this. Write this and don't write this. Say this and don't say this. They get indications. Now how it comes like this. It comes in small phases, it comes, but you have a positive approach. You do a sunnah for the week, and you read, increase your durood. But do it with that spirit of love. And then you see how you will come closer and closer and closer all the time. And as you reach closer, you come there, then your understanding improves. Your love improves. That ibadah is now just not just a formality. It is life. It is alive. There is life in that ibadah of yours. Then you find now, Nabi Sallam himself, he is communicating with you. So all these things happen in this manner. Understand? Allah Ta'ala grant us all also. Thank you for some time.